Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. This is Possibility Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you,
Michael,
dear.
Are you there?
I am here. We are blessed with an absolutely awesome day. It's a little cloudy today, but the colors, the carpet of colors on the lawns in the neighborhood are just so beautiful, and gold and yellow, and the trees are still holding on to their leaves, and it's probably about, maybe 60 degrees in Lansing, Michigan. Absolutely beautiful. Rex, if you're listening, your eavesdrops are full of leaves, of course. Anyway, we're just delighted that everybody who chooses to join us does that on a daily basis or whatever days you do. And we have this opportunity to learn and understand this process of forgiveness and to recognize that where our creative process has taken us into a place that shows us our pain, where we hold pain, that as we choose to forgive, as we choose to remove the root of the creative process that we entered into to produce our pain, then we get a chance to remove the root of our pain. And the removal of the cause of pain from the human energy system is called forgiveness. Last week we did a really powerful On Creating Consciously workshop last Monday night. And in that workshop, we really touched in, kind of, for me anyway, on a new level into this process of creating what happens in our lives. And there's a particularly poignant piece. I was actually kind of just going over and redoing some of my notes and restructuring that workshop according to my experience last week. And in really looking into this process of creating, and we talk in that On Creating Consciously workshop about the thought that comes from Max Planck as he's receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics. And this goes back over 100 years ago. Max Planck receives the Nobel Prize in Physics. And here's what he says. As a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another, within another. And when we recognize that we live in this world of energy, that we don't live in a physical world, and it's time for so-called scientists that's still looking for the cause to catch up with the real science that's been around for this particular piece of information at least a century. And then it's interesting, there's a woman named Candace Pert, who is a neurophysicist. This is the woman who discovered opiate receptors and the action of those receptors in the brain. She was the chief of the section of brain biochemistry of clinical neuroscience at the NIMH, National Institute of Mental Health, and a research professor at the Department of Physiology and Biophysics at Georgetown University School of Medicine. And if you just really listen to her words and see what this creative process is and what's going on in our physiology, she says this: thoughts give rise to neuropeptides and so chemical reactions which produce physiological results. Mm-hmm. Neuropeptides, she says, are the sheet music containing the notes that allow the body to orchestrate physiological and emotional processes, code that into language where we live. That means that with your thoughts, you create the chemicals that either kill yourself, your cells, and yourself, or give life to your cells and yourself. Let that sink in. Neuropeptides are the sheet music containing the notes. Neuropeptide is a solidified thought in the body. Contain the notes that instruct the body how to orchestrate physiological and emotional processes. Your thoughts create the so-called chemical messengers, produce life or death in your cell, physiological and emotional processes. She goes on to say, systems of the body exchange neuropeptide information, the body-mind connection, in which every change in the mental emotional state causes a change in the body physiology and vice versa. Neuropeptides are the molecular language that allows cells to communicate. This discovery clearly places, now this is a woman coming out of the laboratory, this isn't some, you know, wacko, this is somebody coming out of the National Mental Institute of Health. This discovery clearly places the physical as the last step. Physical matter is the more energetically dense and ends up at the end of the chain of events. So the last thing that happens is these neuropeptides become the cell. It is what we sense and see energy manifesting into physical matter. And then she says, feelings, which of course are shadows of your thought, feelings are chemical. They can kill or cure. Think about the creative process of your life. Now, your mind can come up with a million excuses for why somebody else is the problem in your life, why somebody else is, you know, has to change for you to change your internal processes. But your internal processes happen internally to you. Your mind can always come up with an excuse as to why I'm angry at Charlie. I'm upset with Bill. I've got rage at Mary. Why? Because in me there are these so-called chemical messengers, and the chemical messengers are thoughts. And it's just time for us to wake up and start to recognize that those chemical messengers, quote-unquote chemical messengers, do not belong in our structures. They just don't belong in you. I don't care what Charlie, Bill, Harry, Mary, or Hortense does. You don't want in your structure the capacity for your cells to produce rage, guilt, grief, hate, fear, anger, or else those energies will kill you, will kill your cell. Again, let's go back to Candace Pert. Feelings are chemical. They can kill or cure. Do you want to cure whatever's going on in your life? And when I say cure whatever's going on in your life, I'm talking about, do you want to cure your finances? Do you want to cure your relationship with your children? Do you want to cure your relationship with your spouse? Do you want to cure that horrible disease that's in your body that you think is attacking you? Then you've got to stop playing the game of denial. You've got to start to recognize, if I'm feeling this, it's inside of me, and whatever my mind uses to justify why I should hold on to it and blame somebody else, it's inside of me, and I'm doing it to me. And forgiveness, as it comes out of the first century Aramaic, is how to remove literally those chemical messengers from the cell that say, cell, we are getting ready to murder you. A thought of hate is a thought of murdering your own cells. A thought of fear is a thought that tortures your own cellular structure. Of course you're in pain when you do that. But nobody else can force those neuropeptides into your structure. The only thing that can put them in your structure is your own mind. And, of course, if they were delivered to you genetically because you were the inheritor of the mind of your generations, then the work you need to do is internal, and you need to go in and clean up your own structure. And it can be a difficult message to really get a hold of and really put to work in your life. You know, the other night we did the workshop Empowered to Heal here in Lansing. And, you know, it's a really powerful workshop for looking at how we're doing things to ourselves. And, of course, as we lay out that workshop, we've got 2.5 hours, and we lay out that whole process from an energetic level, what disease and healing looks like, what kind of mind energy is in the structure. And I heard back from someone who brought a couple of guests, and as they left the workshop, their complaint was, well, why didn't you tell us how to fix it all? You know, yes, I have this horrible disease in my body. Well, yes, I've been dealing with it for 25 years. But why in 2.5 hours didn't he tell us how we could fix it so I could leave here and tomorrow everything would be okay? And it just, you know, it just boggles my mind. We offered the instructions. We said, hey, folks, you know, we're not going to go into the forgiveness process here because we've only got 2.5 hours, and that was a 4-hour workshop that we did on Sunday. If you missed it, I apologize. Actually, next Tuesday, we're going to do it again. Here in Lansing, it'll be an abbreviated version. We're going to be in a place called the I Am Center next Tuesday night from 7 to 9:30, and we're going to do an abbreviated Why Is This Happening to Me Again. If you can join us, that would be fabulous. And actually, Junie's just putting that on the website as we speak and creating a flyer for it. We just set that up. We've actually created three new events in the last few days to do while we're here. So Sunday, you know, this week, we're at Renaissance Unity here in Lansing. So tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday, Friday night, and then all day Saturday, we'll be doing workshops here. And then at Unity of Greater Lansing on Sunday, we'll be doing their Sunday service, and Sunday afternoon, we'll be doing codependence to interdependence. And then on Monday night, we just set this event up actually about 10 minutes ago. We confirmed this. We're going to be doing the workshop from the Course in Miracles, What is the World? We're going to be covering and moving into that lesson and looking at how it is that we set things up and what the Course is really talking about when it's talking about forgiveness. And then on Tuesday night, but it was just interesting to hear the response through the person who brought them. It's like, well, you know, why didn't you tell us how to fix it all? And as we explained that, that was a 4-hour workshop. We can't do it in the next 10 minutes. But here's what you can do. You can go to our website, whyagain.org, click the bullseye, and that will give you chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Explains forgiveness. It'll give you the second link is the worksheet. And then click a third link, and there are at least a dozen radio shows where we go through the whole process. Now, of course, somebody can buy the DVD or the CD or the book on CD of Why Is This Happening to Me Again and have the material, but we also put it there for nothing. We want people to be outrageously successful So we explained that this was available to folks in that workshop. And then we said, and then we're here on the radio 5 days a week to have an hour's personal conversation. But the upshot of many years of pain and disease and sitting in front of, that's what it takes to heal, was the complaint that you didn't tell us how to do it. And I just invite everybody to look at what it is that you're willing to invest in your process. You know, if you're so busy in the world that you can't take time to heal yourself, you know, there's an old adage that says people spend all of their energy, their time, their intelligence, and their energy to make money, and then as they destroy themselves doing that, then toward the end of their lives, they spend all of their money trying to get back their health. Give yourself the space to take the time to use the tools. Give yourself the space to take the time to build the brain cell. And as you do, you find that the whole game of your life changes. But it only changes when you make changes. You can't have everything stay the same and make changes. You're going to have to do something different. They happen to be on the show that we're at the workshop on Monday night, or pardon me, I guess it was Monday night, Power to Heal. There are at least 12 hours. Each hour is walking somebody through the whole forgiveness process. It's free on our website. Go download the MP3s, put them on your phone, and listen to them. And then when you finish listen to them again. And then when you listen to them, then listen to them again. There are at least 12 different full custom sets of instructions for how to change the neuropeptide structure of your cells. And you're going to have to do it. It's going to take time. It's going to take work. Are you ready to do what it takes? That's what we're here to support you in. That's why we're here to have that conversation. And so I would love to open the space and see if Dr. Tim happens to be with us.
He is.
I'm here.
Young man.
I'm here. I'm thoroughly enjoying the intro, and I can certainly understand how someone would come to a lecture and hope that in a one-hour or two-hour lecture, all their problems would be solved.
Yeah, I got $5 in 5 minutes. Tell me all you know.
Yeah, and I can understand. I can even empathize with that frustration. At the same time, what I can offer is using the tools, while it won't get me there today or tomorrow, has dramatically improved the quality of my life in ways I just can't begin to describe. So the invitation is there to start your own group. We had our support group last night.
Now, tell us about it. How'd it go?
It went very well. We had we listened to one of the hour-long lectures from Guy Finley that basically I think there were three different points. I stopped it and I said, now, does everybody understand how what he just described is sustained incoherence? And I stopped it again and said, do you understand how he's describing Michael's step this in the worksheet? And they were getting it and lighting up brain cells in different people, slightly different ways. And then we had some discussion. And then we had somebody do a worksheet. And we had two different people who contacted me after the group and said, well, I had a powerful worksheet experience either in the group or after the group, and just wanted to share it with you. So it is, it's truly a blessing to have that experience in my life. And I explained to them that, trying to answer some questions about how I'm opening up another group on Thursdays and how it is not replacing the Tuesday group, it's just expanding in my life this joyful presence of loving people to have them around twice a week instead of just once a week, people who are making the choice to spend time to improve their life rather than do the same old thing over and over again that hasn't improved their lives. And it's just a delight to have that experience each week and to have it to look forward to. And now I get to do it twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's very exciting. I've put a request out to one of the people to ask if it's possible for me to share the content of the, either for them to call in the show or to have me share the content without identifying information of this very powerful worksheet that they had happen. And I'm just delighted to be able to access these tools for myself and share them with others.
I certainly hear you loud and clear. I understand. And, you know, I think that sometimes people look at these conclusions and basically the conclusions that I've arrived at, and I know the same for you, the conclusions you've arrived at, aren't something that happened in 30 minutes. It's taken us years to comprehend this. And we built our comprehension on the shoulders of people that it took years. You know, I'm sure that Candace Pert didn't go into the laboratory her first day out of medical school and go, oh, lots of neuropeptides. Oh, there you go. That's how you create chemicals that can kill or heal. No, that was a lifetime of work for Candace. I know Candace personally, and I hold her in a blessing. She passed out of her body, I think it was about a year or so ago, I heard recently. Bless her heart. She was just a really sweet presence. I was very excited about the Aramaic process of forgiveness. But I know that Candace didn't come to that conclusion overnight, but here we are. We've got the benefit of probably 30 years or more of Candace's work in that one little paragraph. Ah, thoughts can kill or cure feelings or chemical. How powerful is that? Bruce Lipton, you know, in the I'm Creating Consciously workshop, a follow-up with Bruce Lipton, here's what he says. And I guarantee this was not the conclusion that Bruce had the first time he went into the laboratory. This took him decades to come to. I was exhilarated by the new realization that I could change the character of my life by changing my beliefs, which of course means my thoughts. I was instantly energized because there was a science-based path that would take me from my job as perennial victim to my new position as creator of my destiny. Environmental signals adjust gene expression so that the individual can adapt and survive maximally in any given situation. What controls the composition of your blood and therefore the fate of your cells? In summary, the signals from the environment, such as light, sound, smell, and touch, are received by the brain as perceptions interpreted by the mind. In response to the mind's interpretation, the brain releases chemistry into the blood that controls cell behavior and genetic activity. So if you change your belief and perception, you can change the chemistry of your blood and create your own biology. You are a cell biologist, or more accurately, a self-biologist, when it comes to controlling the environment of your cells. Now, I guarantee that's 30 years of work for Bruce Lipton. Gee, we just got 60 years of wisdom, bingo, inside of 10 minutes. Now, am I going to fully comprehend that wisdom in this five-minute time period? No. I'm going to have to do my work. I'm going to have to gain my own comprehension of how to go in and change this structure. And, you know, nobody else can change it for me. So anyone who's listening, I can't do it. Dr. Tim can't do it. Jeannie can't. Rex can't. You know, Michelle can't. None of us can do that. But we can synthesize the information so that you don't have to spend. You know, I've been doing this for 45 years to come to these conclusions. I don't know many people that are going to spend their time full-time 45 years to understand this and to put this together. But now each individual is going to have to spend their time, their intelligence, their money, their energy. You can't go off being busy with all the things of the world and comprehend the depth of how life is created without doing some work. And so our invitation is, do your work. Take the time. Set aside. You know, we suggest tithing at least 10%. And, you know, most people think of tithing as something about money. And yeah, there's a money component, but that's not really the most important part of tithing. The most important part of tithing is, you need to reorganize your life so that you've got at least 2.4 hours a day. 24-hour day, 10% is 2.4 hours of your time into doing your work. into doing your process. And as you do that, over the period of years, you will comprehend and you will heal all of the neuropeptide data. You'll develop the skill to be able to decode those neuropeptides that maybe were put in there by great-great-great-great-grandfather. You'll be able to pull them out of your cell. You'll be able to rip them out of your genes with forgiveness. And then exposing them to the active presence of love, they'll dissolve and you'll be free of them. But it's not a 5-minute. Tell me in my head how I'm going to do this, and then I'll be done with it. You're going to have to spend your time. You know, in the ancient teachings, and you know, people would hear the bottom line conclusion of the one who'd spent 20, 30, 40, 50 years understanding something. They'd hear that bottom line conclusion, say, "Wow, that sounds cool. I want to do that yesterday." To that, they responded in the ancient scriptures, "You can't storm the gates of the kingdom. You can't be there yesterday. It is a process, and each one of us has to do our work." Has that been your experience, Dr. Tim? Have you had to do your work, or was it all just you were instantly knighted with it when you got the first idea about how to do it?
Well, to get the results, I had to have to do the work. I don't have to do the work, though. It's a choice. I can walk away from it, and I have walked away from it, and when I do, I backslide pretty quickly. The other thing that's resonated by what you're saying is that the questions really help. So when people come at it with fresh eyes and they ask a question, it's a great tool for me to have somebody else who isn't as well versed in the work have a question.
Yes.
And somebody asked me a question yesterday, and in the response to their question, I heard myself saying things that I thought, well, you know what? That's been bubbling around in my head for the past, I don't know, months maybe. But this is the first time it's come out in a way that makes it really comprehensible to me. Now, I'm not sure what the other person received, but yesterday when I said this, when I think about it, it's exciting. Look at how the pieces of the puzzle just fit together a little bit differently there for me. And it all came because somebody asked me a question. So, you know, I want to support people calling in, either people from the... I mean, I'm pretty sure we had more than one MindShifter support group going last night. And so anybody from my support group who wants to call in with a question or comment, or anybody from the other support groups that... There's one in Michigan, I believe, maybe one down in Missouri, and it's those questions that contain the catalyst for far deeper insight and reactions in all of us. So,
yeah,
that's
well. You've heard me say so often that for me, with the travel that I do and the number of different people that I get to interact with, the most awesome piece of the puzzle, the most powerful thing I get is I get to interact with all these people who've refined their questioning ability, and the gift is in their questions. It's awesome to have that opportunity, isn't it? And to have somebody who's come at it with a different set of brain cells and a whole different perspective, and as you say, the thing you've been pondering, and they go click and bingo, that's the question I needed. So there's definitely a selfish motive in us, you know, interacting with and getting to play with all these folks around the country and around the globe. It's just awesome.
So I wonder if anybody has a question.
So Jean.
Yes, actually we have two hands up.
Oh, cool. Let's
we have two. Okay, the first one I think is Miss Fernie 901. You're on the air.
Hi there. Good morning, Kim. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Jeannie. Yes, this is Vernie.
Welcome, young lady.
Thank you. And I've been enjoying listening to the programs each day. I have two short comments and a question. When you were talking earlier about the frustration that people have in not in wanting success immediately. And when I had my group here, that was one of the frustrations, is am I never going to get this? Am I never going to get this? And I found out in even with myself, one of the measurements of progress is the distance between my triggers and the amount and the length that those triggers last, or that response to those triggers, that rage or fear lasts. And as I progressed and as they progressed, I would have them measure and mark down, even keep a calendar of when they had their last upset and how long it took them to shift from that upset into a space of peace. And so I just offer that out. It became a really good tool in allaying some of that frustration of thinking you're not making any progress. I guess I forgot what the third thing was. But anyway, the question I have is when you're talking about neuropeptides and the thoughts, I've been working, my lesson in the Course in Miracles today is I will not be afraid of love. And you know my history in the idea of growing up with the teachings of hellfire and brimstone at the boarding school I was in. And so my concept of love was God loves you, and any day you're going to do the unforgivable sin, and then he's going to zap you. So the brain cells connected with love were very painful. And so in working past that and working through those, I'm now at the point where I can say that when the term love is used, I have no feeling at all. No feeling of rage, no feeling of identification. It's almost like there's no brain cells for it. But the former brain cells of responding in fear are no longer there. So, the other word, which means absolutely nothing or appears to not trigger any kind of emotion in me, is the word grace. And so I'm wondering, I do the thought process, and I will not be afraid of love, and I will embrace love, but I'm having no feeling reaction. So maybe you can address that.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, Vinny, you've made such a leap, because most people who were beat into submission in that thought system cannot even approach the truth of how they were beaten with it. It's just impossible. There's so much trauma in it that they, and I believe that part of that whole process, and people will resist, and I don't want to look there and know it was perfectly fine and there's no reason to question it. There are huge, huge reasons to question it. You just shared them in a very few words. But part of that brainwash is, if you ever question this, you are going to burn for eternity.
Yeah.
And you'll be burned for eternity by love. And, you know, and the mind that can't question it, the mind that doesn't have sufficient love of truth yet to be able to question it and let go of that as the root of their thought system, wonders why there's pain in their bodies, wonders why there's trauma in their lives. But you can't go there and address the root of it, and that's the root that needs to be opened. I would offer that, as you know, Shakespeare gives us a good clue when he says, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. And you'll notice when you said there's no feeling there, you then went to the feeling that was there. When you went to the feeling that was there through denial, and you said there's no rage. So I'd offer the thing that probably is hovering up yet, the direct physiological experience of the presence of love, is there's still rage. And the rage comes, my take is that at the moment where we gave up our direct experience of the active presence of love, this is something we cover in the Cody Penance workshop. Actually, that's the intensive we're getting ready to do starting next week. And You know, the newborn comes in. If you ask anybody, the newborn, everybody describes the newborn as some variation on the theme of love. They are that. And then the world comes pounding in, and especially the power person, and oftentimes that power person is a religious leader. The power person instills all this hostility, fear, these messages of what's wrong with you and how you are a quote-unquote sinner. And when those messages are sufficiently embedded, and they are embedded genetically, and then they come from the environment, as Bruce Lipton's saying, it now modulates gene expression, and up comes this identity of who we think we are. And it is the self that looks like and we think of as being a body. And when we fall out of our direct physical experience of the active presence of the love of God, which we're designed to live in, when we give that joy, delight, pleasure, extreme, there aren't words big enough for what it is to live in that. When we give that up, that moment of giving that up is the moment of the most intense rage one will ever feel. And, you know, people live in a doctrine and a dogma for decades, and they never have that experience because the doctrine and dogma based in fear can't produce that experience. People live there decades and decades and decades and proclaim how good it is and how great it is, and they never have the experience because the experience isn't in that fear-based thought system. And to confront it, to question it, to give it up is what will allow us to go back and live in that active presence of love 24/7, 365. But the gateway is guarded by our rage.
Okay,
and willingness to go back through, stop projecting that rage on everybody and everything, own it, go inside, and forgive the rage. Then, having taken that cover off of the direct physiological experience of the presence of love in your cells, you will have the most awesome, delightful, joyous reunion with love that you could conceive of. And I've only seen 4 or 5 people in all the years I've been doing this work that have been willing to go back through that gate and are willing to be supported in even approaching it or admitting that it's there. So you're halfway there. You've got the awareness of it.
Well, I want to ask the question is that because I feel very peaceful, even though it's like, and I can feel joy. I know what joy feels like. So how do I tell the difference between that I'm in a place of peace and I feel joyful? How does that, but then when the word love is there, I just feel peaceful.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know from experience in working with you for many, many years now that you are one of the most serious people at doing your work and removing the roots of the trauma and the turmoil. You've done huge amounts of work in that direction and are one of the most faithful at continuously doing your work. And that results in peace. However, if I'm not yet back through the gateway of the rage, and it's pure blind rage, and having been forced by my power person to give up the direct experience of the active presence of love, then that's going to continue, it's going to tend to block me from experiencing that presence. Back several years ago, we had a young man who came to Heartland, and he actually spent 2 years there with his family, and he was from Sweden, and just an awesome guy. And in coming to Heartland, you know, I don't know if you know many Swedes, but the Swedes tend to be rather aloof intellectual people. And he was a healer and was in that category of aloof and intellectual. And he would come to me every other day through the intensive and say, Michael, what you keep talking about love. What are you talking about? Michael, you're talking about, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And then it was toward the end of the first summer that he was there, we did a still point session, and he had a full-blown near-life experience. Full-blown. And here's this guy who's very aloof, keeps everybody at arm's length, very courteous, very kind, very caring person, but keeps everybody at arm's length. And all of a sudden, he can't help himself. He is all over everybody in the workshop, hugging them. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. He has the direct experience. And I know we've talked about this. This is many years ago. And we've talked about this as being a light in his life that keeps him motivated to keep doing his work to come back to that full-blown experience, because there are many layers and levels that need to be cleared out of the insanity to come back to that experience.
The last thing, the neuropeptides. So it's the thought that triggers the neuropeptide, or does
the
a feeling?
The thought, you know, if you go to the opening words in the book of John, what it says is not, in the beginning was the Word and the Word became flesh, but it says in the beginning was the mind energy and the mind energy became flesh. So when we think of thought, we have a frequency, an energetic pattern that we put into our structure, and that energetic pattern put into our structure shows up as what they call a neuropeptide. At the same time as the neuropeptide shows up, it creates reflections. One of the reflections of the neuropeptide or the mind energy is feelings. So if I put in a wondrous high-level thought, I put it in and I'm going to go, oh, this feels so good. If I put in a really low hate thought, then the reflection of that, the warning signal that I've done that, is going to be, oh, this doesn't feel good. This hurts. I need to get rid of this. But I don't know what it is because I deny that it's even mine. So the neuropeptide carries with it, I would offer it would be like a radiation of a quality of experience. You know, imagine that you go out into the backyard and you find something, you know, there's a dead animal. And you bring it into your living room, there's the dead animal, and then there's the smell that permeates the space that warns you there's something here you don't want to have in your living room. So the thought would be, and the neuropeptide would be the dead animal, and the smell would be the feeling. Ugh! And so feelings are reflections, and as I see it, you know, I could easily imagine if I were the creator and I were going to create creatures who, like myself, with their minds could create, one of the nicest gifts that I could offer them would be a feedback mechanism that tells them about the quality of their creation, and that's our feelings. So we get this warning signal. But the thing that needs to be changed is that which creates the warning signal, which is the thought.
Okay.
That lands in the cell. And, you know, the cell biologists are saying, if you read more of Bruce's work, you'll see that he's saying that when the neuropeptide finds a receptor site on a cell that matches, it says that the neuropeptide, or the cell, then replicates the neuropeptide. I think that's a little bit off base. I think what is actually happening is that the neuropeptide, or the thought, is a broad range, a broad spectrum of frequency. And when it lands on the cell, a portion of that frequency inserts itself in the cell. And when it's inserted in the cell, because of our limited perceptual apparatus, the limited frequency range that we receive through our senses and the extensions of our senses, such as the microscope, we say, ah, this is a chemical, but it really is not a chemical. It is a broad range frequency that has inserted itself into the cell. The cell didn't replicate it. It was actually inserted when it landed on the receptor site. The same way as when I'm listening to a radio show, I have an antenna, and the radio doesn't replicate the signal that lands on the antenna. This is physics now, back to the electronic world. The transistors don't make copies of what comes in the antenna. As the frequency lands on the antenna, it inserts itself, or it lands in the transistor and comes out the speaker as a sound. In the same way, it comes out of the cell as a feeling in the cell. You get enough cells with that response to a pain-inducing neuropeptide, and all of a sudden the part of the body says, ouch, that hurts.
Okay,
and that's
so
the warning signal that it's time for us to forgive and remove. And you know, Yeshua says words are key here. With our words, we create life, we create death. And so if I really watch my words, my structure will always inform me and tell me what my next piece of work is. And as I listen to your speech, when you talked about this and what you didn't have, and, you know, we only use words to describe what's firing within us, I'd say that your next piece of work is going to probably be this moment of giving up the active presence of love and the rage at having experienced that. That's probably your next piece of work.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That even though I might be saying something that is truth, the neuropeptide or the feeling reactions from that neuropeptide will then give me a clue of what I really need to look at.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, yes.
So we hold the space, and we're here to support you.
Thank you very much, and that's for me.
Coming back to that full-blown, direct experience of the active presence of love. That's what it takes. And part of the beauty of that, Vernie, is that's your most natural condition. It's how we all started out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you breathing?
Yes. Yes, I am breathing. I was going to say that's what I wanted to ask. And if the next caller is ready, then I am breathing nicely. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, we delight in supporting you, and we're glad to have you on our team and delight to be on yours. And please keep calling and keep asking the next layer of questions. I think that was a really, really important one that I'm sure served everybody in the community, including me. And it empowered me to solidify some understanding on a different level, too.
Thank you.
All right. Blessings. We love you.
Love you, too. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye. All righty. Bye-bye.
Awesome. We do have another caller.
Go for it.
It's area code 517. I think it's Rex.
Yes, it is. How's everybody doing?
We're rocking.
Awesome. It's one of those question statements. It's not really a question. It's more of a statement. But it's kind of to just add it to the conversation. When you were talking originally about the couple or the person that had given you input about, hey, how come I didn't get a tool? I want a tool to be able to get this handled. I see that I have a problem. Now I just want to know how to fix it. Well, I wondered if another way of perceiving it, I kind of saw it a little differently than your descriptor of what I heard you say, and that was that what if that person, and I've heard this from people before, and I've looked at it both sides, what if the person was actually saying, gosh, you know what? I've opened this up, and now I see that I have a problem that I didn't know I had, and I'm really desiring a solution. And yeah, that solution would be to get it all done right now. But maybe it was a matter of the person was just saying, gosh, I've gotten so much. I just would like to know where to start. And when I've listened to you in our talks, when you're doing the talk, and especially it was so cute to see it so blatant, when you said, okay, when you fill out the check, leave the payee blank, and we'll put in whether it be Unity of Renaissance, or we'll put in, for me or us, Michael or Jeannie, and it'll give us the freedom to be able to direct the money in the way that we do because we share it with them. And then they just, everybody that day filled it all in, and then we just laughed about it because even the person who was supporting came to us and asked. So it was one of those examples of people don't hear what's being shared. And sometimes, especially powerfully, when a person really gets, oh my gosh, I've got this massive amount of material inside me that I see that I've got it, and I thought up at this point that it was everybody else. Now I'm hearing, oh my gosh, it's more to do with me than it is them, and help, you know. And so I just heard it a little differently rather than a person maybe suggesting that you didn't offer a tool for them to correct it or fix the problem, and that they wanted it all fixed now, that maybe they were just saying, hey, I need someone to tell me again, what was that was that I can do about this now? And it was just to offer a different perspective on it, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, that was it. Thank you, everyone. Really enjoying Michael being here.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
It is certainly a process to get to hear it and to integrate it. And so that's one of the reasons we want everybody on the planet to be outrageously successful at using these tools. And that's why we're here 5 days a week doing exactly this and carrying on a conversation to create the support. And, of course, if you're wondering about, well, how does that forgiveness process operate, please go to the website, click on the bullseye, center of the page, website's whyagain.org, and when you click on that bullseye, the third link will take you to a dozen different radio shows. Actually, I think it's more than that. I'm not sure how many links there are there now. Do you know, Jeannie?
I do not know right off. I'd have to look.
Anyway, it's a dozen or more, and the fun part of it is that each one of them, of course, is a different worksheet with a different person. So each one has a shade of difference in building brain cells from a different perspective. And so that's what we're here to support. And, there's an old adage that says, well, first you got to tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you got to tell them, and then you got to tell them what you told them. So we'll say it again. Go to the website. The instructions are there. They're free. And, of course, we're also happy if you want to pay for them. There's a DVD of Why Is This Happening to Me Again, The How-To of Forgiveness. There's a two-hour, there's a four-hour, there's a four-hour CD, there's the book on CD. We're working on rewriting the book Why Is This Happening to Me Again. That will be available hopefully before too long. But you can also download free from the website, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, in at least a half a dozen different languages. And so we're just delighted to be here to offer the tools and to share it. Do you see anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
Well, nobody has their hand up, but I'm going to ask Julie. I know she's on. Julie, if you're in a place where you can answer a question, if you would hit one, I'll turn you on. There's in the chat room, one of the discussions earlier was around a person who went into some fear. She actually addressed it as a paralyzing fear because she thought her father was going to pass, and she didn't want to be there and see that happen. And so, Julie, I know you have an awesome experience. Would you share that about when your dad passed?
Yes, am I on, Jeannie?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay. Thank you. When my dad left, my dad told me that he was ready to leave, and he was in a rehab situation. So he had told me this quite a few times, and so this day I said, well, Dad, if that's really true, this is what you really want to do. I said, let's hold hands, and I said, and you ask God to take you, and ask him to take you today and take you now. And so, Dad started to go into prayer and asking God, to take him. And as I held his hands, he began to breathe differently. I could hear him praying, and he began to breathe more of a connected breath, more of a connected breath. And then it was a continuous connected breath, and I could no longer hear him praying. But I kept telling him, I'm here, Dad. I'm holding your hands. Everything's okay. Go ahead and be with God. Meanwhile, I'm crying. I'm not going to say I wasn't. I didn't really want him to go, but I knew he wanted to go. And so as he continued to do that, it wasn't very long, maybe 10 minutes before he left. And when he left, it was a very peaceful situation. It was actually, I felt a blessing. The nurse came in and she did check him and did declare that he had left, died, or left his body. And so while he was still there, and I was alone in the room, I kept asking for him, Dad, where are you? Where are you? I know that you're here. I know that you're still here. Where are you? And I started to get like this pain in my chest, which only increased as I asked for where he was. And I must have asked about 5 times, and the pain every time I asked increased in my chest. And finally, I've got received this intuitive message, I'm in your heart. And so, you know, I felt like my dad just gave me a part of him just as well as I felt my mother gave me the highest part of her. And it was really a blessing. I felt so blessed by both my parents' transitions and leaving. And it's a good thing. One of the things that we... go ahead.
I was just going to say, as I'm listening to you, I was just going to share that as I'm listening to you, and I've heard you share this many times, my whole body's just tingling with aliveness and joy at hearing your sharing it, because you're opening such a space for people. And maybe we've only got about 2 minutes left, but maybe you could share what happened with your mom when she left too, because I think it just opens up the space for people.
Before we go there, though, I know we're real short on time, but she just put in the chat room, but her father won't pray and he doesn't want to accept the end and he's angry and filled with fear. So how will that make it different for her?
So what I did was, you know, lots and lots of worksheets when I was sitting next to my mother and she was going through her transition. And I think that what I did was bridge whatever needed to be bridged for them and for myself to have the experience of them making their transition easily. So I think, you know, taking some space and doing some work herself so that she can have a different reality with them, a different experience. We only see what's in us. And we only create what's in us, a vibration coming back. So get to a space of going and seeing him differently would be her healing. That's what I would support her doing.
Good answer. So, good answer.
Absolutely right on track, Julie. And, you know, oftentimes people facing something like death, having nothing but fear and hostility in them about it, can't make a shift. But if somebody like a close family member nearby can face their hostility and fear and forgive it, they can open literally an energetic space that in place that your dad could flow into and receive support for dissolving his hostility and fear. You can't change what's going on inside of him, but you can forgive that which is in you. And, of course, there's the genetic link, so you've got some of the same things. And if you really put the pen to the paper on some of those worksheets, you can create a whole different space. Doesn't mean you have to, but you can create a whole different space and be a blessing in that space that he, if he's ready to, might just be able to flow into. And I think it's an awesome topic. I would love to start the show out with that topic tomorrow. If you'd be willing to call in, and let's have a conversation about what that whole process is saying. You know, we've only had a minute or two. What the whole process is, then call into the show to start tomorrow, and let's have an extended conversation about this whole circumstance of people passing. In the meantime, create the best of your eternal life. We appreciate you being here. Blessings.